I was introduced as a disturbing pastor, which is not so bad. I have a Korean friend. His English is very poor. He had to preach in America, and he was introduced as a model of a warm pastor. So I went home and looked up in the dictionary what these words mean. Model is a small reproduction of the real thing. And warm, well, is somebody who is not very hot. So I understood he was introduced as a small reproduction of what a pastor should be, and not a very hot pastor. So I farewell this disturbing pastor. When our Lord Jesus Christ chased the merchants from the temple, people put to him the question, a legitimate question. With what authority do you do these things? What is the sign that you have the right to do things otherwise than everybody else? And men are in right to ask us, you, the church, say you speak in the name of God. You, individual Christians, when you witness about Christ, you do the same thing. You ask us to change all our ways, to revolutionize our lives. With what right do you speak so? What is your sign? Our Lord gave a sign. He said, you will destroy this temple, my body. It will be resurrected. What is the sign which we give? Nietzsche, a German philosopher, said, Christians should look much more saved if they wish we should believe in their Savior. We have to be somehow else. In America, not long ago, a very renowned Catholic bishop died, Fulton Sheen, and he tells the story that once he had to speak in Philadelphia in the town hall. He walked, he lost somehow his way, he saw some boys playing, and he asked them for the way to the town hall. They showed him. And he said, boys, why don't you come with me? I will speak there about the way to heaven. And the boys laughed. One of them said, how can you show us the way to heaven when you don't know even the way to the town hall? And Christians wish to show to other people the way to heaven. Will show, first of all, that your life is not like our lives, that it is a better, a more beautiful, a holier life, that you know to solve your problems in an entirely other manner than we do it. If not, you can't be believed. You can't be believed. Now, we Christians have our experiences with Jesus. We can tell everybody we have been saved by Jesus. Saved from what? Saved from our sins. Yes, but every Sunday morning we gather again in churches and we say, forgive our sins which we have made by words, deeds and thoughts. And the next Sunday we say it again, and in our homes we say it. So it seems that we have not been fully saved by sins, from our sins. He has healed from sicknesses. I have been healed from many sicknesses. My beautiful wife has been healed. We have had such experiences. But after having been healed from one sickness, after a time we had another sickness. Our Lord Jesus Christ has resurrected people from the dead. A young girl and the son of the widow of Nain and Lazarus. But after a time, these again die. He has helped us in our business. We have had a bad time in our employment. Somehow these bad times passed. We had it better. But then another wave came, and we again lost money, or we lost our employments, or I don't know what. Does there not exist another salvation? A salvation higher than this. A salvation which should put me much above the ups and downs of human life. Can't Jesus give us something much better than this? If I would ask you, are you God?
I wonder how many of you would dare to say, yes, I am a God. Well, if you don't dare to say you are a God, you don't believe in Jesus. Because Jesus says you are God. I don't feel like at all like a God. If I look in a mirror, I see a human being. I am not a God. I don't think about myself as a God. Well, your thoughts are not right. And your feelings are not right. And your mirror lies to you. Jesus knows better. And he says, you are God. I will not tell you in what chapter, in what verse, because then you will look up that verse. Read the whole Bible and you will find the verse which I tell you. Jesus says to those who belong to his people, you are God. You are far above the ups and downs of this life. In this life you are helped to get rid of a sin and to get rid of a sickness and to get rid of different problems. But there is something much higher. You pass to another species. The difference between being human or being a child of God is much bigger than the difference between a monkey and a man. Because monkey and man are creatures. But we belong to the family of God. It is written somewhere in the Bible, read the whole Bible and you will find it, that we have the divine nature. We have the nature of the Creator. If we belong through Christ to God. It is again written that we have the seed of God in us. Where there is the seed of a lily will arise from it. Where there is the seed of a carnation, there will be a carnation. And there are such strange verses in the Bible. You would not dare to pronounce them if they were not written clearly there. Jesus promises that if you will defeat the devil and the world and your own flesh, I will give you, he says. What will he give me? Many of us hope that we will stand once before the throne of God received. Who wishes to stand, let him stand. I don't wish to stand before the throne of God. Because the Bible says, I will give him to sit, not to stand. To sit, where to sit? On my throne, says Jesus. I will give them to sit on my throne as I have conquered and sit on the throne of the Father. There is somewhere a throne from which universes are created and ruled. And we are called not to stand only in adoration before this throne. Now we stand in adoration. But we are called to develop and to sit on such a throne, co-creators and co-rulers. That is what is written clearly in the Bible. It is very rarely mentioned in churches and in sermons. It is written that when he will appear, we will be, we will be something. We will be like him. If you say somebody, you will be like the Queen. You will be like the President of the United States. You will be a genius like Einstein. It is a very big word. It's not said, well, you will also have a little bit of intelligence. Einstein has a little bit more, you will have less. It's not said, well, the Queen is the Queen and you will be somewhere a policeman in the city. It's not at all. He says, Jesus is the King of Kings and you will be like him. You can be like him only because we have also the seed of Jesusness in us. As an embryo, we'll be a full man once. We will be such a high being. Jesus saves us from the spiritual and bodily problems of our life here on earth. Really, we get salvation from our sins. We get also daily salvation in the sorrows and troubles which we have. But there is something entirely more. We can be saved from the misery, from the ups and downs of human life, and become partakers of the divine nature. really fulfill these three verses which Jesus has said. Ye are God. Now, after this small introduction, I wish to tell you, this would be philosophy. I wish to tell you how this was fulfilled in the lives of Christians in communist countries. When the communists took over, first of all, I must tell you something. I preached in this church 18 years ago. I just come out from Romania. And I asked a gentleman who had been here 18 years ago, what did I preach? And to my great amazement, he knew. He said, 18 years ago you told us that a communist officer had come to torture you with his implements of torture. They had rubber truncheons, they had red hot irons wherewith to burn, they had knives. And you looked into his eyes. You admired his eyes and you told him, what beautiful eyes you have. I never hated the communists. I love them. And my speech will not be an anti-communist speech. I love them from all my heart. And I wish they should be saved. This should be clear. But when they came to power in my country, they did what they would do in Britain if they would come to power. They put thousands of Christians of all denominations in jail. And some of us, who were considered more dangerous, we were put everyone alone in a cell. During 3 years I was alone in a cell. 30 feet beneath the earth. Never seeing sun, moon, snow, flowers, stars. This is the time I forgot that these things exist. We never saw a color. We always saw the grey walls of the cell and our grey uniforms. This is the time I forgot that blue and yellow and violet and pink exist. Our world was grey. We never had a Bible nor any other book. We were very, very hungry. I will not describe you our menu because you would lose your appetite for a fortnight. We were very, very hungry. There were beatings, there were tortures. I will not describe the tortures. You would not sleep a fortnight if you would know what tortures your brethren and sisters in communist countries endured. We never had a Bible, neither any other book. I've never, 14 years, I've never had a pen in my hand, never paper, nothing. There was no intellectual activity of any kind. And in these years of solitary confinement, we never heard a voice, we never heard a whisper. Every one of us was alone. We were so alone under the earth, Christ grazed over our jail. Those who passed near the jail did not know it is a jail. It was under the earth. Christ grazed over it. And we were alone, alone. And we remembered the words of Jesus. Ye are God. God has been alone. Before he created the world of angels and the world of men, he has been alone, alone, alone. And we were like God, alone. We lived in timelessness. This is the time we did not know anymore. Is it March? Is it October? Is it Tuesday? Is it Saturday? We did not know. If it is Christmas, if it is Easter, if it is 8 o'clock in the morning, if it is 3 o'clock during the night, we did not know this difference. We guessed somehow something, but we never knew the time. We lived in timelessness, in eternity, before time started. Eternity has been hacked by us in pieces. There was a mission conference in Germany, and they brought a convert from New Guinea, a savage, they brought him to show, look here, how he worked. And this man from New Guinea went back. They asked him, how is life there in Europe where you have been? He said, it would be all right, only they are stupid. And he was asked, why are they stupid? There's something here at their wrist which makes continually tick-tack, 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 and it cuts time in pieces. And they're always so unhappy, now I've lost an hour, now I've lost 3 hours, I've lost 10 minutes. If they would not cut it in pieces themselves, why do they? And we had, it was some 50 years ago, they had Yet, I was a missionary. I had to wait for a bus. He explained to them somehow what a bus is. And the bus had just passed. And the missionary told me, let us run after the bus. So we ran, and we caught it. And when they entered, he said, now we have won 10 minutes. And they asked the missionary, and what will we do with these 10 minutes? He did not know what to do. We have cut time in pieces. There we lived in timelessness. There was no time. As God has been in timelessness. I'm Jewish. My beautiful wife is Jewish too. I'm sorry you could not see how beautiful she is because she's small. Standing did not help her. She was asked to stand. You will see her at the bookstore. And we both are Jewish. Some of you might be Jewish too. You might know that in the Hebrew language, our tenses don't exist. I am, I was, I have been, I had been, I would have been, and all these things don't exist. They have only the transitive and intransitive, because all these things don't correspond to reality. There exists the one reality which we cut in pieces. We were in timelessness. We were alone as God has been. We were outside of time as God has been. We had nothing, nothing. If you can imagine, we had nothing. We had no family anymore, no children, no mother, no church, no books, no nothing, nothing. Everything had been taken away from us. Our clothing, everything. Our name has been taken away from us. When you were put in jail, you were told you are not allowed to pronounce your name. Not even the guards should know whom they guard. They fear that at a glass of wine with a friend, they might betray the secret who is in jail. So we were given a number, prisoner number one, prisoner number 823, 6,500, I don't know how much. Everything had been taken away from us. We had nothing. God had nothing. We were alone like God. We were in timelessness like God. We had nothing like God. And God, out of nothing, because He is God, He is a creator, out of nothing, He made the world. Out of nothing, He made the world. In all the initiations, in mystery religions, they had the habit, when the disciple asked the master who initiated him, what is the world? The master would take a rod, on the rod there was a thread, and at the end of the thread, a coal burning, red hot, and the master would turn the burning coal around, and then it made a red circle. The red circle, you could see it, you could photograph it, but it did not exist. There was only one little bit of coal. And if he turned it around quicker and quicker, he could make 10 circles out of it, he could make a sphere out of it, he could make a world out of it, and you could see the world. But the world did not exist. That is exactly what modern science tells us. This world, where there are some little electrons and some little protons and some little neutrons, the distance from an electron to a proton is, in comparison with their size, as big as the distance from the Earth to the Sun. And in the middle is nothing. Now they found that the atom is also composed of smaller particles, bosons and leptons, and I don't know how they are called, which also are at distance from one another as big as that from the Earth to the Sun. And these are in smaller particles, which are called quarks, and really the world is a nothing, plus a God, who has made that out of this nothing there should be a world. He has created out of nothing. And then we ask ourselves, different Christians at different levels, truly has a big experience in different manner, but we set ourselves, like God we are alone. Like God, we are outside of time. Like God, we have nothing. And we are God. Then let us act like God. Let us create a world. And in these dark, subterranean prison cells, I myself and others, we created for ourselves a beautiful world. It was so beautiful. A world which we created because we are creators if we are children of God. It started with this, that I spoke to Jesus, I did not see him, I did not experience him, I believed, and I spoke to him. We had no writing material, but we always wrote with a piece of wood, taken from the bed, a piece of wood. We greased our shoes with soap, and we wrote on the soles of our feet whole books I've written. You will find when you come out, I have written not only Torture for Christ, don't read all my books because I've published already 15, but I published one of the books of this, my correspondence with Jesus. You will find it under the name sermons in solitary confinement. I corresponded with Jesus. I spoke with God. But when you speak much with Jesus, when you speak much with God, and you speak really in faith, something happens. You all know what erotic obsessions are, how terrible they are, especially in prison. I have not seen a girl 14 years. I have not seen a woman 14 years. And women did not hear. It can obsess you. You lie down a little bit and then you see before you girls and women and talk, and you never see your wife. You see somebody else's wife. And, so. And I imagine that girls have the same temptation. But if our mind can evoke erotic things, our minds can evoke also spiritual things. You can evoke the presence of Jesus. I can close my eyes now, I can see my son, I can see my daughter-in-law, I can see my grandchildren, every one of us can, no? We can evoke the presence of somebody. And we evoke the presence of Jesus. We evoke the presence of angels. We evoke the presence of saints. And with the time, we orientated ourselves in this entirely other world. We evoked beautiful forests and lakes and seashores and so many beautiful places, a beautiful sky. We never saw the sky with the stars. But we could evoke all these things, and we lived in this world which we had created. We lived in a world with so many good men, with so many saintly men. It was a pleasure to be with them, to discuss with them. Years passed, we did not observe the passing of time. There was no time for us. We have created for ourselves a beautiful world. And out of this, our experience, I plead with you, I know we had our suffering there, you have yours. Many of you are very, very much alone. You are married and you are still alone because your spouse does not understand you. You have children, but they break your heart. They don't understand you. You have parents who are brutal. They don't understand you. In your church, you are misunderstood. Pastors get misunderstood, and parishioners get misunderstood. There's so much loneliness, so much loneliness. Hallelujah. God was alone. God was alone. I have nothing. I'm unemployed. My business went bankrupt. So many, I have nothing. I have no money. God had nothing. And of nothing, he created a world. Why don't you create a beautiful world for you? St. Paul was in a jail, in a subterranean jail in Rome. I've seen it, I've been there. It was like, exactly like the cell in which I have been, under the earth. He sat on the concrete, he had no bed, he sat on the concrete. And there on the concrete, beaten, hungry, he wrote to the Ephesians, we, he meant himself and the other disciples, we are seated, he says, in heavenly places. Go away, you liar. In what heavenly places are you seated? You are seated in a subterranean jail in Rome. He said, well, that is the material world in which I am detained. Somehow against my will, I am chained to this material world. But I am a God. I am also a creator. I am a son of God. I can create a world of mine. And I can see myself and my dear brethren seated in heavenly places. And St. John, deported on the island of Patmos, also under pressure, he saw so many beautiful things in heaven. He saw God, he saw the world of angels, angelic beings. And I would recommend to every one of you, I have not come to tell you how much the Christians suffer in communist countries and how many beatings they get and how much you should help them. I've come to tell you that they've had spiritual experiences apart, which could be the common treasure of Christians also in the free world. You don't have their sadness, but you have yours. You have your grievances, you have your sorrows, you have your all kinds of things, or your pain. You must not live in your pain. You can live outside of them, much above them. You can be released by God from this pain or from this pain. You can be saved from this, you can be saved from others. But you can be also above all these things, seated in heavenly places, in a world which thy spirit has created Christ. Can't he create Christ? But who is this Christ? Where is this Christ? Christ, where does he live? He lives on this pulpit now because he lives on me. And if he is a creator, then I can create. And we have received the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is the third person in Godhead. He's also creator. I can create. Why should I live in this ugly world which is called reality and not live in the beautiful world which I can create for myself? I can't free myself entirely from this reality. Somehow it chains me, it draws me back. I have to eat, I have to seek a job, I have to do something. I have to serve some family relations or I don't know what. But at the same time, I have the spirit cleansed by Jesus, appertaining to him, which can create entirely new realities. And I've come to plead with you, learn from the underground church. I must say, I'm sorry, I'm not a painter. I would like to have been, to be a painter. And to paint the beautiful shining faces of Christians in communist jails, their faces shone. And it was quite an achievement, even for the glory of God, to shine on the face of a Christian in communist jails, because we did not wash. I have not washed 3 years. Some of your children would enjoy it. We did not wash. But the glory of God can shine from behind a crust of dirt. And there is a triumphant smile on their face. And I know about Christians who have come out from communist prisons. I know that one who was stopped several times on the street by other fights. And they asked him, sir, what is it in you? You look such a happy man. What is the source of your happiness? And they told him, because I come from many years in communist jails. Because they have not lived in their spirit, in the difficulties of material life, but through the spirit that creates for themselves a beautiful world, as you can create, every one of you, you can live very beautiful lives. We say beautiful lives. If only you would know what life I have. Some have such a bad marital life. A bad marital life can be much worse than prison. Terrible. To have a wife who nags, or a husband who batters, or children who break your heart. Or there exist so many things. And there exist grave sicknesses and terminal sicknesses and bereavements. And there exist so many material difficulties. Your head breaks. You don't know how to pay and how to do it. So there exist so many difficulties. Tempest in your soul. I know these difficulties exist. But your difficulties are in any case less than those of our brother Mihai Horev. Mihai Horev is a Russian Christian. He's in jail, I believe, since 15 years. His father died in the same jail in which he is now. And he tells in a letter which he recently smuggled out from prison that he was put in a cell with common criminals. They put a Christian. Who can imagine, when we speak about tortures of communists, there's just nothing in comparison with being these common criminals and tortured by them. The communist, you know, he has 8 hours of work. After 8 hours, he goes home. But the criminal is with you 24 hours in the same cell. And what they do to Christians, unimaginable. Now he was in a cell with common criminals. They've beaten him so that he fell unconscious. When he came somehow to himself, he heard them speaking among themselves, we should grease some rope, and we should hang him tonight. And another said, no, that's too complicated. We will better cut his throat, and then we will put the bleeding knife, we will put him in his hand, so it will look that he has committed suicide. And that was the talk among them, and you could believe, because they did these things. And then he created a verb for himself. And he said, how beautiful will it be after they have cut my throat. He evoked heavenly Jerusalem. He saw the angels receiving him, taking him in their arms to bring him to the bosom of Abraham. And so many beautiful things he saw. He saw himself encountering the martyrs of old. He had never thought that he will be with a Polycarp or Ignace or these holy martyrs. And now a little fellow, Mihai Horev, have arrived to be in their ranks. And he enjoyed these things, and enjoying them, he slept the whole night very quiet. The next day again beating, again in the evening they talked about killing him, and he said, but my father has died. in this place. Petru also killed by criminals. He did not know how he had died. And what an honor for me and what a joy for my father that I was not afraid and that I walked in his footsteps. And I will see Jesus and thinking about this world which he created for himself. He fell asleep again and again quietly, 18 days, it went like this. On the 18th day he was moved from that jail, and now I have to read to you, it is so beautiful that I have to read to you exactly, I will have to read quietly, because I translate from another language. When he had to leave the cell, the criminal who had intended to cut my throat came to me, shook my hand and said, "Truly, there is something supernatural in you. What in the world does a criminal know about supernatural?" Horus was a thief of the Bible. He knew from Horus, not from the Bible, that Horus belongs to another species. He has a divine nature. He says something supernatural is in you. There must be a God. Every time when we spoke about you, do you think we did not know that you hurt us? Thou, you kept your eyes closed. Why did you not jump at us? Why did you not panic? Why were you not sad? Why could you sleep quietly and peacefully? This only one can do who really believes in eternal life. When you were taken out for a walk in the prison yard, you could have reported to a guard, "These men wish to kill me. Please put me in another prison cell." That is what is usually done. But you never did it. Why? Why did you come back? Why did you not seek help with any man except with your God? And why did you pray on your knees every morning and every evening? You knew that we could kill you. We have killed so many. Why did you give yourself quietly every day in our hands? This is incomprehensible for us. Really, you have something supernatural in you. Once again, he shook my hands, and that is how we parted. Horev has not lived in this world. We all expect that Jesus will come once and will rapture us to heaven. Nobody will be raptured, I can assure you, if he is not raptured already now. And nobody will be in heaven if he is not in heaven already now. If he does not live here, in an entirely other world than the material world which surrounds us. So whatever your circumstances, they might be terrible with some of you. I'm in so many houses and I hear so many stories. I know what is happening in different houses and in the lives of men. Don't live this life. Live the new life, the eternal life, the timeless life to which we are called by Jesus. I read recently a happening. A man was such a Christian. He was known as a big Christian. He told others about Christ and then he fell very, very sick. And then he had to inquire with everyone, but how is it with eternal life and how is it with resurrection? He should have known this years ago. We were in prison cells with men sentenced to death. As often as the door was unlocked, he did not know if he will be taken to a bath, if he will be taken to an interrogation, or if he is taken to be shot. And there was such a quiet. There was no difference for him, because he knew he has the eternal life. I'm God. What can be done to a God? I belong to the family of God. I have the nature of God. If I have the nature of a fly, I know I will live 24 hours and then I will die. If I have the nature of a man, I know I can live 60, 70, 80 years. If I am an elephant, well, an elephant can live 200 or 300 years. If I am a God, who in the world can kill me? He can change only my outward shape. I will live in other circumstances. And we saw this quiet of those who understand, who understood their godly nature and that plead with you for this. You have your difficulties, you have your crosses. What cross did Jesus have? He knew that on that evening he had been sold for 30 pieces of silver by the beloved disciple, another disciple to whom he had said, "You will be the rock on which I will build my church." This disciple will deny and will say, Jesus, never heard about him. And the others will flee, he will be deserted, he will be stripped, he will be beaten to the pulp, he will bleed all over, he will have a crown of thorns, they will drive nails into his hands and into his feet, he will see his holy and very blessed mother, we will speak about her a little bit later. He will see his holy mother weeping at the foot of the cross. He knew all this. And then he said to his disciples, well, if the situation is so bad, let us sing a song and he went to the Garden of Gethsemane singing. Because he did not live only this material life which imposes itself upon earth, what is called the real life. He was the Son of God and lived in a life created by him himself. May I attract your attention just about one verse which all of you probably know from childhood, from Sunday school, Psalm 23. It's so easy for the psalmist. He says, even if I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear nothing. It's not easy. You pass through the valley of death and you should fear nothing. When there was a blitz here, the older people here in London will remember there was a great bombing here in Britain and death all around. You fear the bomb might fall just upon your house. If you pass through the valley of death, you fear. But David does not say he passes through the valley of death. He says, when I will pass through the valley of the shadow of death, then I don't fear. The shadow of a snake can't bite me. The shadow of a dog can't do me no harm. The shadow of a man with a big stick, where he wishes to beat me, can do me no harm. Shadows can do no harm. And we know only the shadows of death. We are outside of it. Death exists for those who don't belong to God. They are mortal creatures. But we are immortal. Christ has given us eternal life. And that makes the difference in our lives. And therefore, Christians could be quiet and happy. I must say about myself and about all the others who are in jail and who were in jail. There are thousands in jail now. I've been a lucky fellow. I was only 14 years in jail. Brother Alexei Kotov in Russia is in jail since 45 years. And he's still there. And if he would be here, he would tell you the same thing. We sang in jail. When I came to Britain, I found out that there exist birds about which nothing is written in ornithology. Ornithology is a science about birds. And they say there in this false science of ornithology that birds sing every day. Larks, nightingales sing every day. There exist no birds which don't sing every day. Well, there exist. The British Christians, they sing once a week on Sunday. Yes. And on Sunday they sing what we have heard today. Oh, there are thousand tongues to sing, you liar. If you sing once a week, one tongue is more than enough. Why do you need thousand tongues? We, in communist days, we sang every day. And we sang being accompanied by musical instruments. The communists have been very nice to us. Every Christian, when he entered in jail, got a musical instrument. Not an organ, not a piano, not a guitar, but chains at our hands and at our feet. And we discovered that chains are splendid musical instruments. We could sing, onward Christian soldiers, cling, clang, cling, clang, marching at the war, cling, clang, cling, clang. And there was this joy of the heart. Dear brethren, I tell you about things through which I have passed myself and through which so many pass now. Nguyen Van Diem in Vietnam, who is in jail, and Francis Jean Chude in China just recently died after 24 years in jail. And in Russia there is Yakunin and Minyakov, and there are so many. And in every country, in Cuba, in Nicaragua, wherever the communists are at power, the British leftists don't say what socialism really is about. But wherever the communists are at power, they jail Christians and they jail Jews. I was Jewish and Christian. I always had to get two beatings. One for being a Jew, one for being a Christian. Until I learned the lesson. As often as they shouted, all the Jews out for beating, I did not go. I'm a Christian. When they shouted, all the Christians out for beating, I did not go. I'm a Jew. In any case. And I speak to you from experience. Live in this new spiritual world which is granted to you by God. The fellowship with angels. The love of God. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and it is written in Hebrews 12:1, this great cloud of witnesses, all these saints which are enumerated in Hebrews 11, all these big saints of all olden times, where are they? Ah, they are somewhere higher up, not true, they are here, they are around us. And you can have the fellowship with them and live amidst troubles in very great joy. And I plead to you, believe me, I don't speak easily to you. It's not so that I was 14 years in jail and that was it. Almost my whole life has been a life of very, very deep suffering. I've been a very poor orphan child. I've been hungry as a child. I've been a hungry student. Since I was a child, I was persecuted because I'm a Jew in Eastern Europe. Since I was a little child, I heard dirty Jews. I was beaten for the crime of being Jewish. I've been in Nazi jails. I will not tell you how many we lost to the Holocaust, because you would not be able to hear whom, in what circumstances, and how many we lost to the Holocaust. I've been in communist jails, and I can tell you that now I suffer much more than I've ever suffered in a communist jail. I'm a man who has known suffering, and known suffering even now. And it is not easy, simply say, you live in another world and pass over all these sufferings. I tell you because I have tasted it. I've seen it can be done. And if God has helped me to do it, He can help every one of you. And your lives can be beautiful. Your lives can be beautiful. They can be lives of joy. They can be lives of fullness. Because you realize that you belong to the family of God. You have the divine nature. You are something entirely else than the world around you. You are not submitted in your spirit to all these ups and downs, which are unavoidable in life. You will be healed from a sickness, and something else will happen. You have avoided those accidents, and something else. In life, always something happens. And you can be helped in these, but then something else will happen. And there exists this other world, peace, the world of peace of God, which passes all understanding and all misunderstanding. That everything is quiet, that everything is beautiful, everything is serene. I call you to come to this world. I've not come to thunder here against communism. People expect very often from me, he will deliver an anti-communist speech. I've not come to recruit you. You should become from now on donors to the mission, to the communist world. From our side, it is all right if you give to any other missionary organization or to the church. God has one jacket with many pockets. It makes no difference to whom you give, as long as you give. I don't plead for a mission. I plead for your own souls, for the happiness and for the beauty of your souls. We all have to suffer. Watchers here in England don't go there. They go too fast. When I came to England, I was told never preach more than 20 minutes. And I stick exactly to this. I never preach more than 20 minutes, but only my minutes are a little bit longer, you know, in the time of confession. Don't mind. Since 18 years I have not spoken in this church, so don't mind if I tell you just one or two things more. If you have the divine nature, if you are a child of God, learn to suffer in a noble manner. You are not like the others, murmuring, complaining, shouting. You belong to the divine nature. What is the divine nature? God is a being which suffers. God is a being which suffers. In Ezekiel 6:9, it is written, you have crushed me by your sins. In Ezekiel 16:43, God says, you have crushed me by your sins. In 16:43, it is written, you have fretted me by your sins. Or in another translation, you have agitated me by your sins. In the book of Malachi, it is written, you have wearied me out by your sins. We have it to do with a God who knows suffering himself. He is agitated by our sins. He is wearied out. He is crushed. And when he sent his son to represent him here on earth, he told him, the only way in which you can represent me is if you become a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. When God came on earth, he came as a little babe, and the first thing which he had to encounter was a hero who wished to kill him. And all his life, he said to suffer poverty and oppression, and then in the end, the shameful death. And we represent this God. But God knows to suffer in a noble manner. And let us also learn, we have everyone our sufferings, we can bear them in a noble manner. First of all, forgive. Forgive is wrong. May I tell you that Englishmen spell wrongly the word forgive. Forgive is not F-O-R-G-I-V-E. That's the wrong spelling. May I teach you? I know. You see my English, how good it is. I can tell you how to spell it. Forgive is spelled F-O-R-E dash give. Give forgiveness. Forgive. Before something happens to you. Every man whom you know, before you know anything, he wishes to kill me, he wishes to wrong me, he wishes to steal from me, he wishes to embrace me, he wishes to make me happy, he wishes to crush my heart. Forgive.
And 5,000 prisoners had to stand at attention, and Nazi officers passed through the rows and picked out this one, this one, this one, who should be gassed on that day. And they picked out a young lady, a Jewish communist. And she began to weep and to implore, I have a little child. What did a Nazi officer care about it? This is a child of a Jewish communist. No, you must go. It was a good friend. And Mary Skoptseva asked herself, what would Jesus have done if he would have been here? Would he have volunteered to die in her place? In her place! But she's a communist! And the communists are as bad as the Nazis! And if the Nazis will be overthrown and the communists will take Germany, they will do the same thing as the Nazis! Eventually for somebody else, but for a communist I could give myself. But then she remembered Christ died for sinners. He died for murderers. He died for criminals. He died for... He made no difference. He makes no difference among you. You might have committed who knows what sins, what crimes. I have too much experience as a preacher. I've had so many times I preach, and then somebody came recently in America when I finished preaching. One came and said, I'm on the list of most wanted criminals. So there are all kinds of men in a congregation. Whatever, Christ makes no difference. He has given himself for every one of us. And she stepped forward and said, Captain, may I give my life in the place of this one? Leave again to laugh. You're so stupid. All right, we take you. Her turn will come a little bit later. And they took her. When the British and the Americans freed the concentration camps, they arrested these former Nazi officers. And they declared that while they took Mary Skoptseva to the gas chamber or to the burning oven, she spoke to them and said, when the people of God was taken out of Egyptian slavery, God walked before them in a column of fire, and my desire is that my burning body should be a column of fire which would show you the way to God. And then the Jewish communist, she was escaped, and now she was converted, and she began to pray. She began to pray, but she did not know how to pray. She has never been in a church, she has never read a Bible. And the Christians who had remained behind heard her saying, God, make me like Mary Skoptseva. And they chided her. That's not a prayer. You can pray, God, make me Christ-like, not God, make me like Mary Skoptseva. And the Jewish communist asked, what is the difference? What is the difference between Mary Skoptseva and Jesus? If Jesus would have been here, would he have done more than Mary Skoptseva did? Now, Mary Skoptseva, surely Jesus does more, but Mary Skoptseva represented so faithfully Jesus Christ that he was one among many brethren. She is a little sister of Jesus Christ. She belongs to the same family, to the family of God. She's of the same nature, of the same species. She has this godly thing in her, and this was seen. We all claim that people should listen to us. I'm the church, and you have to listen to us. And people ask us, but what is the sign? Why should we listen to you? There are so many voices in this world, so many denominations, and so many sects, and so many political parties. Why should I listen just to you? What do you have special? Well, this is one special thing. I am above. I belong to this world of Godhead. I belong to those who can create a beautiful life in misery, in poverty, unemployed. My business broken, my family destroyed, my life work destroyed. And believe me, I speak as a man who has suffered all these things and more than that. And we can overcome all these because we have the seed of Godhead in us. That is the great gift which God has given us.
With this I finish. But there are certain things, one thing which I must tell you. I have a duty to tell you this one thing. Recently, a bishop in this country declared that he can't believe in the virgin birth of man. Now, a bishop, as far as I know, is meant to say what he believes, not what he disbelieves. What would you say about a shopkeeper who would put in the shop window a poster, "These are the goods which we don't have in the shop"? This bishop would not be accepted as salesman in no shop. He says what he does not believe instead of saying what he believes. Saying that he is a scientist too, and as a scientist he can't believe in the virgin birth. He's not meant to believe as a scientist, he's meant to believe as a Christian. When Romeo fell in love with Juliet, he did not make any scientific investigation. What bacteria does she have in her intestines? What is her basal metabolism? What is her blood pressure? None of these things. What has science to do with falling in love? And Christian faith is falling in love with God, falling in love with Christ. And if you fall in love with Christ, you fall in love surely also with the mother who is giving him birth, and with the whole life of world of saints, and with the whole world of God. It is a shame that such things appeared. And I felt it my duty to say that such things should not happen, and that Christians should stand up and say that there exists another world than the world of human science. First of all, what he says is not science. There exist two possibilities. Either Mary was a virgin, and the miracles that happened, if she was not a virgin, she was a loose woman, because she was engaged to somebody, and went to bed with somebody else, no? He has no proof that he was a virgin. He has no scientific proofs. But what scientific proof says he that Mary has been a harlot? What does it mean, a bishop, to say such stupid things? And I felt it my duty, because I read this just yesterday in the newspaper. I love Mary dearly, as every Christian loves her. She is called blessed by all the nations. And I felt it my duty to say these words. A bishop and every one of us can do much better things than this. We are called to something so high, so beautiful. It is now 38 years since I became a Christian. I've never regretted it. I've passed through so many deep waves. I've passed through so many, this one thing that I became a Christian. I've never regretted. I've been lifted up to belong to the divine nature. Not to be only a creature, but to belong to the family of the Creator. Now, just one word about our mission. I am not going to preach for a mission, because I never mention the mission in my sermons. But a few words still I have to say. The Christian mission to the coming world spreads the gospel behind the curtain. We smuggle in Bibles and Christian literature into communist countries. I will not tell you how we smuggle, because a smuggler who says how he smuggles is a very poor smuggler. But we smuggle millions of pieces of literature into Russia, into China, into Vietnam, into Cambodia, into European communist countries, into Ethiopia, Angola, Mozambique, into Cuba, into Nicaragua. Planes fly over guerrilla hold camps in Latin America and drop there over the guerrillas the good news of the gospel. We are the only mission which doesn't demand other missions. There are other very beautiful things. We are the only mission which works in Tibet. Tibet was a country which had no Christians. And it has about 25,000 Christians. There are 25,000 Christians of whom not one has ever seen a gospel. The priests have never seen a gospel. They heard something and they gave up further, but they heard. And now there is a New Testament in Tibet. We are the only nation who spreads the gospel among the Russian occupation army in Afghanistan and among the Afghani population. We do all kinds of such things. We write and we don't put in many of these things, but many such things are done. We broadcast the gospel in different languages. We give it to ships who come also in British harbors, Russian ships and Polish ships and so on, to the sailors. And we have families of Christians who are in jail. There are at this moment over thousands of Christians in jail. What do they eat? There's famine in Romania, there's famine in Ethiopia.
If Ethiopia's expanding, what is in Ethiopian jails? Brother Tunza existence for his distinguished. Those who are free can find a little bit of rice or a little bit of flour. What do they have to eat? What can they eat in their jails? What do their families eat? How many times did you eat today? Call the snack soup. How many times did the families of Christian martyrs eat? It is our duty to help them. They must get from us a piece of bread. They must get a little toy too. You can't give to a child only a piece of bread. You have to give a doll too or a ball. And our mission helps these. In one communist country, just last month, 2 months ago, we brought in mosque allowances, like a mosque salary for 1,500 families. We bought 14 houses for them. Don't imagine a fancy English home, but a home that they can put their head without paying mortgage or without paying rent. These are the things which we do. And you will all be, an offering will be taken. You will be all asked to help. You can help with a few coins, you can help with a few pounds, you can help with checks of hundreds or of thousands of pounds. The checks should be made out to Jesus to the communist world. He puts them. Christian missions to the communist world. In America, says the title Jesus to the communist world. Christian missions to the communist world. There is no need. We don't put any maximum, you can give as much as you like. I said once in a gathering like this, we are smuggling not only Bibles, we are smuggling printing machines. You will ask me, how in the world can you smuggle in a printing machine? Well, you don't smuggle in a machine. You smuggle in a wheel, and then another wheel, and then another bevel, and then something else, and then an engineer goes there and puts everything together. And I said in such a meeting that such a machine costs £25,000. And I found this offering, a check of £25,000. And I was so sorry that I said it, because people believe that you can't give more than £25,000. You can give for 2 machines. So there's no need. You can give. You give for the sake of the Lord. You give it that He should be magnified. He has given us this big gift. Not here you are, and here I give you a gift. I am the big Rockefeller, or I don't know who, a rich man, and here I give you a few pounds. No, I am son of God, and I make you son of God and daughter of God. I will make you to be like me. Every throne, you will not only stand before the throne, you will sit with me on the throne. There is nothing which you will not get. Blessed are the poor in spirit, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. As the kingdom of this realm belongs to Queen Elizabeth. So the kingdom of heaven is mine, if I am a poor in spirit, if I belong to Him, if I belong to His family. Such is the calling. And how should we love Him and make Him to be adored by others?